Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. So I was recently able to attend the summer convention of the Louisiana Municipal Association in Lafayette, Louisiana, which happens to be where my father was born and raised. And it was great being in a place where I'd visited so many times as a child. While Lafayette is definitely not a small town, it is surrounded by some great small towns, and I got to visit a few more on my trip. Today, we visit a small town in central Louisiana that is pretty young as far as cities go, but has plenty of festivities for you to enjoy. And we talked to a mayor who wasn't too excited about living here when she first settled in, but she has made it her home, and now she wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. We're going to go talk with Mayor Gail Wilking in the small town of Ball, Louisiana. Come go with me.
Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia.
Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. When looking around for your next small town adventure, you should consider Harrelson County, Georgia. With four small towns, each with their own unique character, Harrelson County has all the charm and warmth of a rural community. Located just 1 hour from the heart of Atlanta, Harrelson County also offers access to the amenities of the big city. In Harrelson County, Georgia, you can enjoy taking a brisk walk among historic homes, eating lunch at one-of-a-kind restaurants, shopping for unique products lovingly curated by one of many local entrepreneurs, and the recreational opportunities are endless, including leisurely floats down the Tallapoosa River and attending some of the many outdoor festivals. Make plans to visit Harrelson County, Georgia today, and you just may decide to stay. For more information, visit harrelson.org. That's harrelson.org. Harrelson County. You're a one-hour drive to a nonstop flight to anywhere in the world, but once you're here, you might not want to go anywhere else. All right. I love it when I get to do recordings in the council chamber. So I'm in the council chamber in the town of Ball, Louisiana. I have the pleasure of sitting with the mayor of the town of Ball, Louisiana, and she's sitting in the chair that she sits in when she runs meetings in this very room, and that is Mayor Gail Wilking. Mayor Gail Wilking. I practiced that a couple times before we recorded, and I still fumbled over it there. So Mayor Gail Wilking, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Mayor Matt, it is so nice to finally be able to welcome you to the great town of Ball, Louisiana.
This is going to be such a fun interview. Not that I have less, you know, no fun on some of the other ones, but I already got a chance to get to know you. You are not boring. So we're going to have a good time and a good conversation.
I've been called a lot of things. Boring, never.
I can't imagine anyone calling you boring. She made sure, it's not uncommon for us to have a bottle of water, you know, just to make sure as we're going through the conversation, get a little dry, take a little swig of water. Been made sure to have a plentiful supply of moon pies that the mayor was very good. She's actually got them at every seat in the council chamber, and all the aldermen, the clerk, I think the police chief has one too, and of course the mayor. And you made sure to tell me no taxpayer dollars were spent on the purchase of the moon pie.
Absolutely. Moon pies are my signature cookie. And that all stems from the town of Ball's very first Mardi Gras parade.
Well, tell us that story in advance. We're going to jump around, I can tell. So go ahead and tell us about the Mardi Gras parade.
I'm very honored to say that the great state of Louisiana has the greatest lieutenant governor ever. And his name is Billy Nungesser.
I got to meet him at the Midwinter Conference earlier this year in Baton Rouge. He
certainly did. We're very close friends. Well, can you just imagine? No one in this great state had ever asked Billy Nungesser to be king of a Mardi Gras parade.
I do find that a little hard to believe.
Well, believe it. So it happened.
You took care of it, though. I got a feeling that's where the story's going.
It's going there. Absolutely. Well, I asked Billy Nungesser if he would be our king. He was so excited that he ventured out to France and spoke about the town of Ball and being our first Mardi Gras king ever.
So you were internationally recognized because of
internationally recognized. Now, that in itself is a great accomplishment for the town of Ball. One of a few, but a pretty great one.
That's a pretty good one.
It's a good one.
That was a good move on your part. I know y'all are friends, but making sure he was the first one here made him talk about it over there.
I know, and you may have been in the meeting at LMA conference where John Schroeder, who was our last Mardi Gras king, was bragging about being in the town of Ball. And there was another mayor who had the audacity to stand up and say, but Treasurer Schroeder, it certainly didn't compare to the 2,000 people we had at our Mardi Gras parade. Well, I had to defend myself there, and we got that straight right off the bat.
So pretty much people fight about where they were Mardi Gras kings or make a big deal. That's good that it's such a thing of note for Ball, Louisiana.
For Ball, it's a great accomplishment because our lieutenant governor is in charge of tourism. And although we are a very small town, he includes the town of Ball in his publications to attract business for us during Mardi Gras season.
Well, then that was a really good move, making him Mardi Gras king here.
I got a lot of good moves. I do.
I can't wait to hear more about him. But let's go back to the beginning, and let me ask you the same first question I start off with all my guests, and that is, were you born in Ball, Louisiana?
Absolutely not.
No. Where did we start out?
Well, I was born in Fifth Ward, Louisiana. No other mayor in the state of Louisiana has ever come from Fifth Ward, Louisiana.
There's a town called Fifth Ward.
Yeah, it's a town called Fifth Ward.
I've been to several small towns and villages, but I haven't been across that one yet.
Well, it's in what we commonly call the parish.
Okay.
The parish is known throughout Louisiana, Avoyelles Parish, but we're so popular there that we just refer to ourselves as the parish.
The parish.
Oh, yeah. It is the capital of the greatest Cajuns.
Okay, okay.
I know some people think it's Lafayette and Kaplan. Not true. Not true.
But it's
from the parish of Avoyelles.
Okay.
Our county seat is Marksville, Louisiana. You may have
heard about that. Uh-huh.
Well, Fifth Ward is just a little speck. We have one little sign that says Fifth Ward.
What was the population of Fifth Ward when you were growing up there, roughly?
Maybe 100.
Okay. But was it incorporated or was it an unincorporated community?
Unincorporated.
Okay, okay. So you were part of the parish. And
the parish.
Incorporated and community.
And they have a lake there by the name of Gin Lake. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a tour guide, and he told me the reason it was named Gin Lake is he got all these doctors from Alexandria and Rapides Parish that would come and get him, take him duck hunting, fishing, mm-hmm. and they drank a lot of gin, and they threw the bottles in, thus the name Gin Lake.
Gin Lake, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm sure that's true, too.
There's plenty of fun names of how streets or lakes or creeks or whatever, how they got their names. So that's pretty, that's fitting.
That's a true story.
So is that where you grew up and all the way through graduation of high school?
No, we left Fifth Ward. My dad was the Iceman back in his day.
Okay.
And he traveled to Marksville to deliver ice. And met my mother.
Okay.
My mother never went without ice. And several years later,
that's why she married the Ice
born.
Man.
She married the Ice Man. So I'm a product of the Ice Man. We moved to Marksville, and I think I was in second or third grade. Mm-hmm. We moved to Marksville, and we stayed there until I was in 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And then my dad had a business, and times were tough, and he moved us to Alexandria.
Okay.
And got this fabulous job working at B.F. Goodrich.
Okay.
And we moved to a little community called Acadian Village. The people who lived in Acadian Village were all transplants from the parish.
Okay, so you're among family and friends.
Absolutely, we were among family.
Just in a little bigger city.
Just a little bit bigger city. Well, I came here kicking and stomping, not wanting. You don't move a child from 10th grade. You know, and I know I'm short, but I was a basketball star, and that was just not nice.
So you had to graduate high school.
At Bolton High School, 1966,
okay,
they bribed me by buying me a 58 Chevrolet.
Good bribe.
It was. But now I had to work at the Morgan and Lindsay to pay for the insurance.
Okay. So you got the car, but the responsibilities kind of cost you a little bit there.
Yeah, it did. So, you know, it was kind of a mutual thing after that. I worked at the Morgan and Lindsay. You may remember Morgan and Lindsay. Way back, like teaching why, that kind of thing. But that's where I worked till I graduated high school.
All right. What did you do after graduating high school?
Oh, I'm so proud to tell you that. I was supposed to go to USL, University at Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents knew I only wanted to go to that school because it's a party school. And I got busted, and I didn't get to go. So
they wanted
I went
to make sure you couldn't go to college to party.
I know,
they
knew me. They knew me. So I ended up going to the Alexandria Vocational Technical School.
Okay.
I went 2 years there, graduated in accounting and shorthand.
Okay.
My first job was as a paralegal.
Mm-hmm.
And from that job, I worked for a very famous judge. His name was Dick Lee. And there's a kind of little folklore about Judge Lee. It was Judge Lee in the Buckeye Three. That was a desegregation matter. Well, I went to work for Judge Lee and trained as a court reporter.
Okay.
And I was a court reporter for 30 years. At 9th Judicial District Court in Alexandria.
So you stayed in Alexandria?
I stayed in Alexandria.
Okay.
And married and divorced. Now married. I only could find an Air Force guy to marry me. Nobody else would marry me. So I married Chuck Wilking, who's commonly known here as the first dude. And he retired from the Air Force. after that, he went to work for the post office.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to Ball after we were married, and we've lived here 43 years.
Now, we're not actually that. How far are we from Alexandria right now? Because Ball is just, I guess, to the northeast of Alexandria,
yes.
If I'm remembering the map correctly.
It's Alexandria, Pineville, Ball.
Okay.
Ball is the third largest municipality in Rapides Parish.
Okay.
And since I've been mayor, I've fought for that recognition. And the other two mayors, Alexandria and Pineville, it's always been Alexandria, Pineville, Ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ball, Alexandria, Pineville now. And they're very quick to tell you that because they don't like to follow me when I talk. So we are now recognized. I have fought very hard for that recognition. Although our population is less than a city.
Yeah, remind us what your population is.
It's 4,000
okay.
At this time. We were at 4,700, but the census took 1,000 people from us, a little less than 1,000 people.
Maybe not so accurately. I've talked to several people that we think the census doesn't actually. The circumstances, of course, couldn't have been worse with the pandemic and everything. So
and I think that's really what happened is the census workers don't conduct censuses like they used to.
Well,
where it was door to door.
And where they would have been doing some of that,
correct.
They weren't.
They weren't.
So that, yeah.
So we've got some government assistant housing here and they didn't file their census reports.
We didn't get everybody counted like we probably would have if it had been, quote, normal a year.
But we are 3,900, according to the census.
Okay.
And as I told you earlier, that does affect the amount of money that...
Yeah, funding for a couple of different things.
Yes.
Yeah.
My police and fire hurts pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I'm fighting the census bureaucracy. And I'm planning on filing an appeal for that.
Let me go back because we jumped into...
Jumped.
No, it's fine. That's what a conversation does.
Yeah, it does.
Let me go back. You said you and your husband have been in Ball for 43 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're not far from where you did most of your career and living and everything. But what made you decide to come here? And then I guess the next question is going to be, how'd you get involved in local government? Because at some point you decided to run for some kind of office.
Well, I did.
But what has attracted you? Obviously, there's plenty of places around the Alexandria area.
I wasn't attracted to come to Ball. My husband had retired from the Air Force. We knew life was going to change as we knew it. We saved money enough to build us a home. That way, if he wanted to work, he could do something that he liked to do. Well, that was fine and dandy, but my husband decided that he was going to look at a house here in Ball right after we built our house in Pineville.
Oh, okay. So you originally built a house in Pineville. Yeah, okay.
In Choctaw Hills on Highway 28 East. Well, the house happened to be a builder's house that happened to be a client of Judge Lee's.
Mm-hmm.
So we came and looked at the house. Well, we left buying the house. And I was not happy.
I was going to say that it sounded like more him than you on that.
It was not me, I can assure you. And being Cajun, I didn't fit in the town of Ball. Ball was, an established town. They just quite weren't ready for the likes of me, which my boss told me that the community I'd been coming from, everybody knew each other.
Right.
And the home we had built was in a subdivision, fairly new homes, and all of us had children the same age. It was like a family.
Yeah.
And to move here where, oh my gosh, nobody came to say, welcome to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But one day my boss said, you know what? You just have to go next door, make some of those famous brownies you have, and say, hey, my name is Gail, and I just moved in that house, and I'm a pretty great person. And lucky for you, I moved in your neighborhood.
Yeah, lucky for you, I'm your neighbor now.
I'm your neighbor. So I did that after kind of being puffed up for a month or two.
A little bit of a rough start, but obviously if it lasted 43 years and now you're the mayor, I'd say it turned out
I wouldn't
okay.
live anywhere else.
Yeah.
I love ball. I retired. I let my priest talk me into going to theology school. That was not easy at my age, trying to stay up with all these young people. But I'm very competitive.
So you wanted to out-know your Bible over them.
Right. They weren't going to have anything over me. So I toughed through 4 years. And in that 4 years, I decided, after coming to a council meeting, and one of the councilmen was less than kind to somebody here. Well, I just stood up and said, you know what? I'm running against you.
Said that in the meeting?
In the meeting. And he'd been here over 30 years. My neighbor, and I love him to death, but he was not nice. So I decided I was going to run.
I take it you ran against him.
And I won. Can you imagine that?
What year was that?
Well, I don't remember.
Some years ago.
It was 2014.
Okay.
I ran for council and I won seat A.
Are your council seats at large or are they districts
at
here?
At large.
Okay, all of them at large.
Five are at large.
Okay, and you just have to be one of the top five vote getters. Do
nope.
They, do they
we
all?
Actually run, we have seat A, B, C, D,
oh, you,
E.
You choose which seat.
You choose which
seat. But the whole city or the whole town votes for
it's
everybody.
It's not a district.
Gotcha. So it's not the top five vote getters. You're saying I'm running for this post. And if no one else runs for that post, but three people run for another one, then you're fine.
That's correct.
But you said, whichever post you're running for, I'm running against you.
I ran against my neighbor.
That person right there. That's okay.
He said, you know what? I'm going to vote for you. You need to have that seat. I'm done. But he didn't. He ran.
Well, he may have voted for you. Secret ballot.
He probably did. We're good friends. We're very good friends and good neighbors.
So you got on council.
I got on council.
That's how you got on council.
And I ran for council, served 4 years, ran for re-election and won. And then we had some problems in the town of Ball. We had FEMA disputes, and there were some trials, and our mayor got sentenced.
Oh, goodness.
To federal pen for FEMA fraud. So that brought up a vacancy.
I don't want to assume anything here, and I'm not interested in digging into the dirty details, but did his whatever happened that put him in prison have to do with the city business? And so the city wasn't him personally. It was actually through the city.
And that dispute exists today.
Okay.
I'm fighting it now.
Okay. So it involved the city as
so
getting some kind of penalties. And
yes.
Okay.
He went to trial, and then as things happened, a plea agreement was reached. And he went to the penitentiary, federal penitentiary, for 4 years, served his time, came out, and ran for re-election, and was elected.
Okay.
Again, re-elected. But on the same ballot, there was a vote taken about a felon having to do 5 years after his probation before he can run. So even though he had won, he was challenged.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. Referendum kept him from being able to
serve. Him.
Okay.
So there about brought the decision of running for mayor.
Did you have to have a special election after that?
We had a special election.
Was he the only one that ran in that race or when he got reelected?
No, there were three.
Okay. He got the most votes, and he won because of that referendum, it kept him from being able to serve. And so you had to have a new election.
We had to have a new election.
And so you ran in that.
And I ran with that. And people ask me a lot, how did you ever decide, because I was so dead set, I never want to be the mayor of any. I just like being on the council.
Sure,
I don't want.
Sure.
But people have a way of encouraging you. And,
yeah.
Well, I said, I'll pray about it. And I prayed about it. And it was qualifying day. And I kept asking God for a sign. Lord, just give me a sign. My husband has never been a fan of elections. I don't think he's ever voted for me, honestly. But he had been to the VA hospital for a checkup, and he walks in the back door, and he said, Mom, I think you need to run for mayor. I said, did you have a stroke on the way back from the VA? Nope. So I have this picture of Jesus on the wall, and I looked up, and I said, is that the sign? Is that my sign? And people may not believe this, but it happened. A voice told me, I'm asking you to run. I'm asking you to try to win. But if the people don't choose you, you've done what I've asked you to do. And I was a little taken back and prayed about it. And that afternoon, I decided I was going to run. Because, you know, I have a habit of praying a lot and not listening to the answer. But I did listen to the answer because I felt it was so strong that, oh, wow, I have to do this. And I did. And there was a runoff, and I won, not by a lot. I won by 64 votes.
How many people ran initially?
There were four of us.
Four total. You made it to a runoff, and then you won in the runoff by 64 votes.
Mm-hmm. And the man who ran against me would have been a great mayor as well. I'm not saying that I worked harder than he did, because I don't believe I did. I just think more people went out to vote for me, well, obviously, mm-hmm. in the runoff. But if he would have won, I would have still been an alderman. Mm-hmm. So the town would have been a winner either way. I'm glad God let me have this opportunity because I love this town.
And so you're in your first term now?
First term.
Okay.
With election coming up in November.
Okay, so you're near the end of the first term, and as it sits now, are you planning to run for re-election?
You bet your boots I am. Yes, I'm planning on running for re-election.
Well, near the end of your first term, what are some of the things, because obviously there was some trouble in the town, in the community, and you wanted to make sure it was addressed.
Yes.
It sounds like they're still going through that, but hopefully you've made some improvements along the way. But what did you want to accomplish? What have you accomplished? What do you still want to accomplish?
The biggest thing I wanted to accomplish, and I have done, is for Ball not to be ridiculed and laughed at for corruption. That's very hurtful.
Yeah.
Because we have good people here. We really do.
Well, and it's like you and I talked about, anytime something bad happens in a small town, the spotlight is shown upon us. Mm-hmm. And the laid-back lifestyle, the high quality of life, some of the really good things that happen, some of the activities that people can enjoy, the family nature of our communities. The news vans aren't pulling up to make sure they capture that and put it right. Because it's not quite as salacious. It doesn't grab your attention
as much. Absolutely.
And so if you have something, and I told you my story of how I even started this podcast was because it was a podcast about Osceola, and it wasn't shining a good light on it. And so, yeah, we have to do reputation management constantly, it seems like.
I have an awesome council. Most of us, we're all elected the first time that we all ran.
Yeah.
Kind of a clean slate. Mm-hmm. The people wanted a clean slate, and they wanted a change. We have worked very, very hard together. We don't always agree. I'm not going to sit here because you know better. But I'll tell you one thing. We talk. We work it out. I don't always win, and they don't always win. But the town wins.
Yeah.
Because we come up with a compromise that's best for this town. And I'm proud of that. Even to this day, we are that way. When I ran for mayor, I vowed to the people I would address the hard issues, the things that other mayors had not addressed because they wanted to get reelected. I didn't run to get reelected. I ran to do a job. And that job was to clean up our town, get us back on our feet, and make people be proud to live here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to brag a little bit. I have this article that was in the Town Talk just a couple of weeks ago. I shared with my council at the last council meeting. The state rated the 64 parishes as to the community, how they ranked as far as retirement, places to retire, the things that are offered in the community. Rabbit's Parish was number 20 in out of 64. That's great. But the town of Ball was number one in the parish.
Oh, wow.
As the best place in Rapids Parish to retire. We're proud of that.
Yeah.
It took a lot of work to get here. I do a lot of public speaking, and I tell people, everybody's welcome. We are a happy town. The coffee pot's always on, and you're always welcome. Come see us.
I do want to talk more about Ball, what there is to do, and why people should come see you. But I've got a set of get-to-know-you questions I like to do, help the audience
okay.
get to know you. So I've got four questions, and the first one is, do you now have, I can't wait for this one, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname?
Oh, that's not nice.
Yeah. See, I saw the look on your face. I just had a feeling.
I just
met you for the first time in person today. We've talked on the phone a couple of times, but I just felt like there was going to be some good stories here. So
yeah.
What's the nickname?
A very, very close friend of mine, a little cage boy that was one of my neighbors in the Acadian Village and went to high school together, named me Cricket.
Cricket.
Yeah, I think it's because probably talk a lot or something. He named me Cricket.
He just started calling you Cricket?
Yeah.
Was it just him or did it catch on at school?
No, it caught on.
Caught on. So everybody called you Cricket?
No.
No?
No. Not everybody. Only those brave enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Because
the ones that, yeah, they, you had enough people scared of you, it's just a limited group of people, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Any other nicknames? That's enough, but I was just curious. It seemed like there might be more.
Not any that I want to share.
Okay.
They're not nice.
Not the good ones.
No,
just Cricket.
Troublemaker.
Troublemaker.
Yeah.
I've been called that once or twice, too. I didn't think of it as a nickname, but yeah.
But yeah, they. What I worked with a lot of judges.
Yeah.
And they just called me Trouble.
Call you Trouble as soon as you walk in the courtroom.
Yes, here comes Trouble.
Man.
I know.
All right. Next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? It's karaoke night. We're queuing up the song. You're next in line. What song are we queuing up for you? Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
That's a good one.
Can't think of it?
No.
Tell you what, we're gonna pass on that one for now. We'll come back to it. I got another question later to help you come up with that, I bet.
Okay.
All right, next question. This one's easier. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Well, steak, rice, and gravy.
Okay.
That's, your dad's from Lafayette. He'll know exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
That is a Cajun staple.
All right. We had that several times at my house growing up, but I never thought of it as a Cajun meal, but sure enough.
It's a Cajun
meal. Steak, rice, and
meal.
Gravy. Okay.
Steak, rice, and gravy.
All right. Steak, rice, and gravy. That's a good meal. And this is the last question, but we're actually going back to the other one. So if you could attend a concert of any singer, any band, duo, performer, any performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
Elvis Presley.
Okay. Elvis, you didn't even have to think about that.
No.
So now let me help you out with the karaoke song. Which Elvis Presley song would you want to do karaoke to?
Jailhouse Rock.
There we go. See, I told you this would help out. Thanks for letting us get to know you with all that.
Oh, you're welcome. That kind of tells you where I'm afraid of going. I tell people I'm so transparent. Because I don't look good in orange.
So you make sure you stay out of the Jailhouse Rock. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
This Louisiana episode of Small Town Podcast is produced in partnership with the Louisiana Municipal Association and is sponsored by Louisiana Economic Development. LMA and LED invite you to visit and enjoy the small towns of Louisiana. Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment and recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, well, let's get back to talking more about ball. You said welcome, all come. So now we need to tell them about what they should come for, maybe what time of year is best to come. So I always ask this question. Everyone, most communities have some kind of annual festival or some, you know, activities throughout the year. So
I'll start with our most famous festival, and that's called Boo Walk.
Boo Walk.
Boo, like B-O-O.
Like what a ghost Boo says. Walk. Boo, I'm scaring you.
Yes.
So is this around Halloween?
It's Halloween.
It is Halloween. Okay.
We take, and all of our businesses come into our walking park, and they set up a booth, a scary booth, or a haunted house, or just a table with treats. No tricks. Just treats.
No tricks, just treats.
No tricks. Okay. We have... The most we've had, 5,800 people come through.
Come up for Boo Walk.
They come for Boo Walk.
Mostly kids, I assume. Maybe only kids.
Well, no, it's
the adults come in too.
The adults come in too.
They come with the kids.
And sometimes mom and dad have bags, but everybody's welcome. And it's put us on the map.
Yeah.
The other cities have little festivals, but people go and trick-or-treat and come right to ball.
Okay. People from Alexandria and Pineville are coming to ball.
We have them from other states who come.
Oh, wow.
It's really an awesome thing. Our next big event is our Christmas parade.
Okay.
For a small town, we have an awesome Christmas parade. But my all-time favorite is Mardi Gras.
You have Mardi Gras here?
We have Mardi Gras. Yes. We
have I am in Louisiana.
That's right. You're in Louisiana. We partner with our high school here, and each year the art class designs a poster for Mardi Gras, mm-hmm. and they incorporate our town seal, and we give them requisite on things that we want in that poster. They so look forward to it. We place first, second, third, and first, second, third rides in our parade on our Mardi Gras float.
Okay.
The Mardi Gras parade was started by a Mardi Gras committee for our town.
And how many years ago have you started doing Mardi Gras?
We've had 7 Mardi Gras. We had to skip one with
so it's
COVID.
Pretty recent, so that's why the lieutenant governor that you made the Mardi Gras king, he was okay. That explains that. Doesn't go that far back. You know, something I noticed, I should have asked this when we talked earlier. Your town is not that old compared to most of the towns. I think I saw there's a seal. In fact, it's in the back of the room. 1972? Is that when you guys were incorporated?
Absolutely.
So that's pretty young because a lot of these towns are early 1900s, late 1800s even.
May 1st will be our 50th year of being incorporated.
Okay.
We are going to have one blowout.
Oh.
4th of July weekend.
Okay.
We've had our very first fireworks display sponsored by the town.
Uh-huh.
We opened our new year with fireworks. December 31st, mm-hmm. we had a very, very nice fireworks display. We were packed.
Wow.
So we're opening our 50th anniversary celebration with the same similar fireworks mm-hmm. display. And then the next day, the Saturday, July 2nd, we're going to have a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
We have our town businesses that are sponsoring us for the celebration. We hope to have demonstrations, sawmill demonstrations. We're going to have a museum with the family of Captain Ball, who actually built a sawmill, named the town after him.
Okay.
And thus started. In May 1st, 1972, I happened to do the incorporation papers.
Oh, my goodness.
And notarized for the town of Ball. I was a paralegal then.
Okay.
And worked for the town attorney.
Wow.
So who would have known 50 years ago when I did these papers that I would be the mayor?
You helped it become a city, and 50 years later, on the 50th anniversary.
That's right.
Wow.
50 years. So I think that's pretty remarkable.
That is funny.
I would have never dreamed that I'd, you know, it's just part of being a legal secretary.
Life's a journey. So
it is a journey.
And you never know where you're going to end up.
Going
down one path.
And I mentioned that to people because we have one of the ladies who actually walked the street to sign the petition to talk to people about incorporating.
Yeah.
Is still alive. We have only one left.
Yeah.
So we're going to celebrate her.
That's amazing.
Then. So I'm pretty proud of where we are now.
Since you processed that paperwork, did you have to actually do a signature?
Your signature
is on the incorporation.
On that,
I don't know if you did it on behalf of the judge or
I
attorney or anything like that.
For the city attorney as the notary.
But okay, so you notarized the paper. So your signature's on there as the notary. That is so funny. That'll be the first time that's happened, that the mayor I'm sitting talking to actually helped incorporate the city on the legal side of things. That's funny.
I would have.
And you weren't a resident at the time. You weren't even in the new city
or
the new town of Ball.
Nope, I was not.
That's very funny.
So that's just a little humor.
That's a good one. I love that. Going back to local attractions and reasons for people to come visit, what are some other things you'd want people to know about Ball, maybe experience or go visit? Anything of historical significance in the town?
Well, today I learned a little bit of history about Civil War days.
Okay.
It seems the town of Ball has a Civil War cemetery. That's amazing.
So you didn't know there was a Civil War cemetery here?
Well,
but you didn't realize it's historical.
I didn't realize that it was all the way back to Civil War. But quite by accident, the town had a survey done of the plots and everything, and a family came in to make arrangements for burying a loved one. Well, when guys were marking the gravesite, started digging, they came across a body wrapped in burlap.
Oh.
So, of course, that means you have to bring in.
Yeah.
It was an unmarked grave.
Right, right.
In that cemetery. We had it as empty,
mm-hmm.
and then we find it there. Of course, we're not able to identify the name of the body, but today we had a family that came in. They left here to go to that marking because they actually think it's their great-great-grandfather.
Wow.
So they, at the time—
That fought in the Civil War?
That fought in the Civil War.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
What their records, and they came with the proof,
mm-hmm.
that they knew that their loved one was buried in that spot. And what a coincidence that we had—
Right, your record said it was empty, and their record said here it is.
And then we don't know anything about it. So there's a big investigation that had to be done.
Some Civil War history right here
in your town.
So we
have Civil War history, and we still have a lot of the original family members for the Malone Cemetery who live here and have a lot of records that they have kept about the plots.
Mm-hmm.
The cemetery was actually run by the Malone family. As it grew, then the interest in caring for the cemetery, was everybody was dead and the families just didn't do that anymore.
Right.
So they dedicated it to the town of Ball.
Mm-hmm.
So we took what records they had, we made a plat, and of course that's all we had to go by.
Right.
So we sell plots now and kind of hope there's
we don't have this happen again. Yeah.
But today it was just really amazing that these people come with the proof.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got the family records from what happened, and it just didn't transfer here in town.
We copied a lot of the things so we can adjust our records because, I mean, it's theirs.
Right.
Back in those days, if a family didn't have a place to bury their loved one, they would come to Ball,
mm-hmm.
and a plot was given to them.
Yeah.
But no record was made.
They forgot to make sure the market is filled.
So since I've been mayor, we've taken a great deal of pain in verifying the records and getting all of that straight as we can.
Right.
So that's something I didn't realize people like to go visit cemeteries,
mm-hmm.
but they do because there's a lot of history.
Oh yeah.
So that's a good thing, and I'm proud of. We have several group homes here, special children,
mm-hmm.
who need help to get along in day-to-day life. And we have this wonderful couple who has incorporated and has several group homes here. Greg Collins is chairman of that group, and if you noticed as you came in, there's a brand new filling station, newly remodeled. That filling station was here probably 70 years ago. But Greg Collins's group took and bought the place, remodeled it into a modern day, beautiful, beautiful facility, sells pizza, it makes malted milkshakes, and it's owned and operated by this group. So the higher level clients,
mm-hmm.
actually work there.
Okay.
It's not exactly a full service, but it has gas pumps, and then the kids work inside,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping the shelves filled, and they have a supervisor who takes care of the cash registers and things, but it's such a great opportunity. And Mr. Collins also has a group of high-level clients who have a lawn care business.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very profitable. They do a wonderful job. So, you know, we offer a lot in our community. In our Mardi Gras parade, our Christmas parade, our junior grand marshals are our autistic children. We have two elementary schools, Ball Elementary and Paradise Elementary. We are now recycling cardboard. Very, very happy to say that. The proceeds from the cardboard go to both of those elementary schools for their special need students. So Ball is giving back to the community. It's so rewarding. And I'm going to brag a little bit on our Tioga High School and Tioga Junior High. We have classes that come every month, and they spend a day with the mayor. And we hold court. The mayor's a scoundrel now. She gets arrested. The kids are the jury. They find me guilty. They put me in jail, and I vowed to never do it again. So
they let you out at the end, I hope?
Yes, and we have a wonderful magistrate. His name is Greg Jones. And, I mean, we have a trial with attorneys.
Make sure it's done right.
It's done right, and he makes sure the mayor's found guilty. So he explains every step. I want the children of this town to know they have a friend in town hall. I want to go to their ball games and they say, there's Mayor Gale. And they do. And my heart gets so big. It makes this job worthwhile. You know that. If you can reach a kid. So they come in here and they ask me, Mary Gail, how did you ever know you wanted to be a mayor? And how much money do you make? I don't exaggerate and I don't lie to them. I tell them the truth. And the day that they asked me and I told them the story about God, you could have heard a pin drop. They listened to me and I was looking at their teachers and thought, I've gone too far now, you know. But the kids asked one little girl in particular, you talk to God? I said, every day. Really? I said, I do. I believe God answers prayers. If he didn't, I wouldn't be the mayor here. Then she says, how much money do you make being the mayor?
Let's move past that part, get to the money.
Yeah, huh? Let's get to the money. I might want to be the mayor. So I try to encourage them. We have a great police chief. He comes in here and when we're conducting the trial and I'm found guilty, they handcuff me and they walk me to the cell and he lets them lock the key. But then they cry because, you know, they don't want to lock up the mayor. And they always leave and say, Mayor, don't be so bad. But it's a fire department. Oh, my gosh, we bring, when the kids are here, we bring the fire trucks. I buy them little Dalmatian dogs. They all go with a Town of Ball T-shirt, sanitation, sewer. It doesn't matter. They just want a T-shirt. And they get little dogs that they name. Probably name them all Mary Gail, but I don't know. But we do that for our schools. We take part in this community and give back to these kids. And if we save one, it's worth it. It is absolutely worth it.
Well, Mayor Gail, as we kind of wrap up this episode, I want to give you the same opportunity I've given all our guests on Small Town Podcast, let you speak directly to the Small Town Podcast audience and tell them why they should come visit or maybe they should come move to Ball, Louisiana.
Well, I'm happy to do that. Ball is the third largest municipality in Rapids Parish. Although we don't really have a Main Street project, our whole town beams. We have a Christian bookstore. Jessica Lashney, if there is a guardian angel here in Ball, I would say it's Jessica. She has a wonderful little shop, cafe. She encourages children to come and learn and read and take part in her Christian activities. We have Mexican restaurants. We have archery stores, best in the parish. We even have a limousine service. You can rent a limousine and you can go north from one end of Ball to the other end of Ball, turn around, go south, and catch us all in a limousine. What a deal is that? We have the best Dairy Queen, probably in the state of Louisiana, Mexican restaurants. Why, we even have the Barn. The Barn is owned by Sharon Thompson, and she caters to giving lessons, writing to children. Of course, there's some older people like me who kind of like to ride in a carriage. We have Camp Cook, which is a National Guard facility. We've got a brand new service station that is owned 100% by a group of people who cater to the special needs clients in our area. We have several homes for special need children, and they are part of our community. We have a wonderful Mardi Gras parade. We have a Christmas parade. We have Boo Walk. And I almost neglected, we have the largest flea market in the state of Louisiana with over 100 vendors' booths. We have a bakery, A-plus Donuts. You stop there and you get a apple fritter, you will come back for that, if for nothing else. It's awesome. We are a happy town. We love people. We love to entertain. We love the community. We love our people. The coffee pot is always on, and you're always welcome. Come see us. We're in the middle of the state of Louisiana.
Well, Mayor Gail Wilking, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the honor.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Gail Wilking for talking with me. I also want to thank the Louisiana Municipal Association and Louisiana Economic Development for partnering and sponsoring this episode. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, and the Greater Harrelson Chamber. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.